Welcome to Bunta Vista. This is a bonus episode. My name is Andrew, and I'm here at the first annual Bunta Vista bikini competition. First up, a handsome boy, an overwhelming favorite to win the competition, wearing a white mesh Wicked Weasel brand bikini and exuding a raw sexual energy so strong that the local government has issued a warning. I am, of course, talking about me. Take a good look, everybody. Delicious. Next up, wearing a black t-shirt that's been cut into a midriff that says, I believe, accompanied by a silhouette of Bigfoot, and a pair of extra-large Mambo board shorts that have been adopted with scissors into a crude and ill-advised thong, it's Ben. How do you like your chances today, Ben?
Now, look, I'm going to be very honest with you. I kind of spaced out for a little bit there because I went to Google Wicked Weasel to see if this was a real brand. And I'm going to be honest, the Google image results, I'm shocked that they made it through safe search.
Yeah, they're saucy bikinis.
There's a lot of nips in there.
I am leaving nothing to the imagination here.
That's a transparent bikini, for sure. Yeah.
A very sort of mid-2000s kind of, porn star bikini kind of vibe, you know?
Yeah. And again, I do have to stress that I very genuinely didn't hear a single thing that you said about me before you got to my part, so I can't really... I got distracted.
So the way that the outfit that you described, Andrew, is shockingly close to the outfit that I literally, that Ben was wearing the first time I met him. The very
was that the first time we met?
Was that the first time?
I don't know if it was the first.
Are you sure?
I think it might have been possibly the second, though.
Because Rowie was there, and I was... This was for Heatherween, a Brisbane...
You were dressed up as the...
I was Manny Calavera from Grim Fandango.
Except you sort of abandoned the headpiece almost instantly.
The headpiece was to scale.
Yeah, yes.
It was about 6 foot tall. looked like a helm from Bloodborne.
Yeah.
with two little eyes that gave me approximately 13 degrees of vision.
Which was very... It was cool, but yeah, I afterwards you're just a guy in a...
Yeah, in a death...
Sort of a cloak.
A cloak, yeah.
Yeah, a robe.
And you were a fella in a tiny little cut-off crop top with the words Gay Hooters written on it.
Yes.
And shorts that were surgically shortened to be just the amount of... Just the height... That you could keep one iPhone 4 in.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. The 4 was a good size of phone, I reckon.
It was a good size of phone. I'm very much enjoying the iPhone SE.
Oh, yeah. That's in the body of a 5, I believe.
Yeah. How do I make... Phones are too damn big these days.
These days,
folks.
I tell you what.
My tiny little hands...
Yes, you can hear the voice of the third person this year. A man who was clutching a squeezy bottle and saying things like, Nyahoo! And Daddy
phones are too damn big, yeah.
It's our official bikini model oiler, the incomparably horny Theo.
Now, I haven't done one of these before, so I have just picked up a bucket of decking oil.
Weatherproofing.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, that is really making my pee hole sting.
Yeah.
I splashed too much of it on and it feels bad.
This is Dulux.
Yeah, like...
No expense spared. It's for your... I feel my pores sealing over.
Yeah. My skin can no longer breathe. But it's not affecting my chances of victory here today.
Isn't it cool? Have you ever oiled a deck, Andrew or Ben?
Oh, sure have.
Yeah.
No, I've oiled lots of other things, though.
Okay.
Never a deck specifically.
Well, you should have gotten this job. I'm mainly a deck oiling guy. And it's incredible how deck oil smells exactly like you'd think deck oil would smell.
It sure does.
Which is horrendous.
But hey, you'll only have to oil that deck, you know.
Yeah, once a year, every year until I'm dead.
Yes. Yep. So, 20, 25 years, yep. 20, 25 times, yeah.
Nothing yeah, one can of deck oil will probably cover that, so...
Yeah, I've got the one can that I had. No, we've actually been through that can. I'm onto the second can, which they sold me fucking water-based oil.
That doesn't sound right.
No.
That doesn't sound right at all.
Come on.
Oh, this one? It's water and oil.
Yeah. Jeez. I'm like, oh yeah, that sounds reasonable. Like a fool.
Ridiculous.
Anyway, nice day, that's though. Why it's all just sort of fallen off you guys now, because yeah. it's just basically pigment in water.
It's just slid off.
It's given me one of those, like,
doesn't stick to the human body at all.
British 21-year-olds going out to the club.
Yeah.
Just real splotchy fake tans.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You got a big old handprint on your butt where I gave you a little...
little good luck slap.
Little good luck toots.
You know, you can't do that to the contestants here. This is no Donald Trump's Mr.'s Universe bikini competition where you can grab pussies left and right. What Jesus. You have just done to Ben is a crime. And we'll be covering it in detail in this edition of Crime Watch.
Please put down your weapon. You are in direct violation of the
That, of course, is the sound of what happens when you commit a crime.
That is true.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter the crime.
This is the future. The
if the I remember correctly...
Nah.
If I recall correctly, the C in Max Laverne's acrostic poem that he read out on the show in the last episode that we did was Crime Watch theme genuinely upsetting. this is a story from WVLA News in Louisiana. Now, just before we get into this, I think this story, even though, you know, it's from real life, this isn't a work of fiction, but it's employing a sort of a narrative technique where you create intrigue by putting in the implication of past events, but not specifying what those events are.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love those articles.
So strap in for this. Embattled Louisiana nursing home owner Bob Dean accidentally shoots thumb off.
I love it. There's so much that goes on in America, just I guess due to their larger population and the general declining mental health and conditions.
The collapse of the empire,
etc. Yeah. It really brews. A certain efficiency of headline that you just don't get in Australia.
Mm.
Now
we would be hard pressed to fit 1.5 things into a headline. That one's got like 6.
I think probably the crucial thing here is the fact that the name of this nursing home owner is specified, and they've put embattled at the start, so we're meant to know who this man is in advance. It's not, you know, in Australia, embattled is 90% of the time it's a politician, 10% of the time a sports person.
Yeah, and they've just torn a crotch.
This is just, yeah. Now America's introducing a new concept here that's unfamiliar to the Australian, the embattled nursing home owner. And let me go into detail
I will dispute slightly that characterization. I think that Australia can have like embattled business owners, and it is usually this class of person. It's somebody who runs a private business but is like shonky in a very noteworthy way.
A crazy John.
I'm thinking of like
George Columbaris.
Embattled restaurateur,
we get a lot of restaurateurs that are embattled.
Yeah,
and I think that often, like, to me, embattled in a headline, the vibe that gives to me is not just that this person's businesses are struggling, it's that they are publicly saying things like, "No, they aren't," and I didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
Yes, they're sweating a lot.
Yep.
To cameras, and they're like running away from cameras down the street. No, I'm fine, mate. No, you can't come in here. It's private property. Can't film here. Things like that. Bob Dean Jr. is in the news again after a
Bob
recent
Dean Sr.
incident.
Very disappointed.
This is such a perfect sentence. Bob Dean Jr. is in the news again after a recent incident involving a gun. Huh. The nursing home owner has been under the microscope since an incident involving residents being moved to a warehouse during Hurricane Ida in August of 2021.
Oh, dear.
10 days after that incident, a lawsuit was filed on behalf of a nursing home resident who was, quote, cruelly deprived of food and water.
Oh.
So not a good guy.
No, don't.
Yeah. Which means you don't have to feel bad about any of the things that I'm about to read to you. Fast forward to March 3rd, and an officer with the Thomaston Police Department was called to a report of a person being shot in the hand. The officer arrived at Southern Ford of Thomaston around 6:20 p.m. and spoke with a salesman who had been in contact with the shooting victim. The shooting victim in this case was Bob Dean Jr. The salesman stated that Dean Jr. was leaving his Ford Bronco, good sign, at the car dealership for service. Prior to leaving the SUV at the dealership, Dean Jr. took items from that vehicle and moved them to another one. According to the affidavit, quote, Mr. Dean removed several guns from his Ford Bronco that he was leaving for a service to a Dodge Ram work truck that he was picking up from service. During the process of moving guns to the Dodge Ram, the salesman was shown a 357 revolver by Mr. Dean. The salesman said that Mr. Dean began to, quote, play with the weapon and the weapon discharged. Now, this next sentence that I'm about to read to you is verbatim as it is written in the news story. Mr. Dean shot his thumb clean off his hand.
Pew! Wow.
We've talked about this before with another news story of someone in America shooting something clean off their body. Mm. Once you're defining that it's clean off, that's a serious, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although that's an injury incompatible with being attached to your body.
Yes, that's right.
I wonder if that's the right term, though, you know, because taking something clean off, that kind of gives to me the vibe of, say, an ancient samurai cut your hand off with
or
the
one of the
finely
guys from
honed
steel. Yeah.
Yeah, with his finely honed katana.
Yeah.
That's clean off. Yeah.
and I think you would have a great chance of having it surgically reattached.
Yeah,
they
clean
would,
off is like Metal Gear Revengeance and the X-ray vision kind of comes across and your perfect slash, slicing your head like 45 degrees off. And then someone can just pick that up and kind of super glue around the brain, the skull and straight on and you're good to go. But nothing about the 357 Magnum gives me the impression of surgical disattachment.
You're suggesting that he shot his thumb unclean off his hand?
Yeah, I'm with Andrew on this one.
I think he did his thumb dirty.
Yeah.
I picture it, like, clean off to me is when somebody cuts off somebody else's head, but at first it doesn't look like anything's happened. And
they stand there,
they take a pause, but suddenly a line appears across their
absolutely.
Neck and it slowly starts to slide off their body.
They take one step forwards, their body moves forwards, their head stays in the same place and kind of just teeters backwards off their body.
And then an 8-foot high jet of blood shoots straight up.
Maybe you're like the vampire elder Victor in the movie Underworld and Kate Beckinsale has just sort of gone past you with a sword.
Wah!
Yeah, you stand there for a little bit and then slides off. Yeah.
But I don't see that happening with a thumb and a 357.
You don't think this man was at a car dealership twirling his gun and he was looking at a car salesman. He's like, you like what you see. And then the gun goes off and then they both stand there perfectly still.
They're both thinking to themselves, we've both really and literally dodged a bullet here.
His thumb just slides off.
Slides off his body.
Little jet of blood.
Very small jet of blood shoots out.
Yeah. Now, of course, the 357 Magnum, famous for being the gun Bud Dwyer used.
Oh, we're two for two of episodes where Bud Dwyer has come
up. And I don't mean that to be a thing. It's just in my thoughts pretty much every single day. I'm thinking, I'm definitely picturing a raggedy stump here. Bone shards, I think, are involved.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a certain amount of it that is just lost, right? That is just smithereens.
Like, you know? They've got a little pile of stuff that's just, like, no good anymore.
Yeah. And if he does get that thumb reattached, it's going to be shorter than it was before, certainly.
I was just trying to find out who Bob Dean Sr. is.
to see how disappointed he'd be.
Well, like, it turns out it's a pretty common name, you know? There's a lot of Robert Dean Seniors out there, and people who had sons named Bob Dean Jr. The only one on Wikipedia, though, and this is who I secretly hope that it is Robert Dean, ufologist from Tucson, Arizona. Dean retired from the U.S. Army as a command sergeant major after a 28-year career. He appeared on radio programs, TV documentaries, and at conferences discussing the subject of UFOs and a government cover-up of alien visitations to Earth. Dean claimed to have viewed a classified government document called The Assessment that allegedly discussed threats posed by alien activity on Earth and concluded that no such threats existed. Dean said he considers himself a professional UFO researcher and had, quote, cosmic top secret clearance while in the military. In 1992, while employed as an emergency services coordinator for Pima County, Arizona, Dean sued his employer for discrimination, saying he was treated unfairly because of his belief in UFOs, reportedly settling for $100,000.
Oh, shit. He won?
Got a little something. A little taste.
He got that UFO discrimination money?
He got that UFO discrimination money.
Holy fuck. This is why strong protections for employees are so important in the workplace. Well done to Robert Dean.
Yeah.
Not so much to his son.
No.
If Bob it Dean is Jr. his son, that's, I'm choosing to imagine that this is his son.
Yeah, he moved away from Arizona to Louisiana because of the controversy.
I always think that if you're like 60 years old, which I assume this guy is, and you can't be called Junior.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's a fucked up thing for you to be called.
Yeah. You should be... Once you become a man, once you've had your bar mitzvah, you lose the junior.
Yeah. You're just Bob Dean.
Dean Jr. left the weapon in the Dodge Ram and fled the scene with his wife in a Mercedes. Nice little bit of color there.
Oh, shit. They can't find out who blew my finger off.
Deputies subsequently performed a welfare check at Mr. Dean's residence. According to the affidavit, Miss Dean, quote, was visibly upset but stated she was concerned about Mr. Dean and him bleeding uncontrollably. An argument ensued between Mr. and Mrs. Dean. Law enforcement...
I don't think you should have blown your thumb off.
I think I should have. It's an old argument. They've been having it for ages.
When are you going to do the dishes?
The Second Amendment does protect your right to try and do, like, cool gun tricks from a Western...
Yeah.
To shoot a whole bunch of times at the ground and see if you rise up into the air like Yosemite Sam.
It's basic physics.
Yep. I don't see how it couldn't work. Hand me those guns.
Law enforcement was asked to leave the property and Mr. Dean denied assistance from emergency medical services. The affidavit.
Get out of here. What's the big deal?
So good. The affidavit said that the local jail would not take Mr. Dean in until he was medically cleared. So if you just refuse to be treated for your injuries, they can't take you to jail. Yeah.
A little life hack for you there.
According to the Thomaston Police Department, Mr. Dean is facing these charges. Reckless conduct. Discharging a firearm on the property of another. Discharging a gun near a public highway. The Thomaston Police Department says Mr. Dean has yet to be served the warrants.
He's winning, in my opinion.
I mean, what are they going to... How are they going to serve him as warrants? They're just, like, going to drop straight to the ground.
If you're going to have a...
You know, actually, I take it back. I was sort of thinking to myself, you know what? He's really got one over on him here, you know? But I was sort of thinking, yeah, all you have to do to not get put in prison is to be just very injured and refuse medical care. But the reason they're trying to put him in jail is for the act that resulted in him requiring the medical care.
Perfect crime.
So it's a bit of a vicious circle there where it's like, if you want to stay out of prison, refuse care for shooting off your thumb. But also if you want to stay out of prison, don't shoot off your thumb at the dealership, you know?
Oh, Mr. not in control of our own bodies over here.
That's right.
If you want to shoot your thumb off, I reckon just
that's your business. That's your business.
I was just looking at another story here to see if there are any other details about what happened there, but the only thing that this news station was able to provide that the other one didn't is that the house that he went back to is his remote lakefront mansion. Let that fill in your picture of Bob mm-hmm. Dean.
Mm-hmm.
Remote lakefront mansion.
Mm.
Shooting thumb off while playing with gun. Owns a car dealership. Does he own a car dealership?
No, he owns a...
He owns several nursing homes threatened with foreclosure. Yeah, no, he was just visiting a car dealership. Shooting his thumb off was probably the last thing that he wanted to happen that day. It's time for the one thing that we didn't want to happen.
This is the one thing we didn't want to happen.
Well, he said it. He said the name of the...
Yeah, I'm pointing at the screen.
I think this is going to enter a canon of a type of story that we've done once or twice before, of a specific type of industry doing whoopsies. This is from KAIT News in Arkansas. Funeral home sued after man hoping to be, quote, raptured, is cremated. Now, hearing that headline, what do you believe has occurred here? Because I got it very wrong when I clicked on it.
Hit us with it one more time.
Funeral home sued after man hoping to be raptured is cremated.
Okay. So
has he paid for the rapture? Or is this just miscommunicated, do you think?
I think this was down to a miscommunication. I initially heard this, saw this and thought, did a guy say, hey, I would like to be raptured right now, can you put me in the cremator? And then they cremated him, which is not what happened.
Oh, okay. You think he was, this was a live...
I thought that was a living man. Yeah. a Jonesboro attorney has filed a lawsuit against a Little Rock funeral home after his client said the funeral home cremated their loved one against their wishes, preventing the deceased from being, quote, raptured following the second coming. According to
rapture like
a dead
pile
person?
Of
earth? Yeah.
Well, I mean,
a pile of ashes?
I don't want to, you know. I didn't grow up in one of those churches, but my understanding is that you had to be alive to be raptured.
Yeah, he's missed out by dying.
It's got to suck when you get raptured and you're like, here I am in the beautiful kingdom of heaven. There's my big golden mansion. And then there's like a twinkle of light and a loud thump as this dude's corpse arrives next to you.
But I also was under
we also raptured your husband.
Oh, ew.
My understanding was that the rapturing was just that the remaining living humans that, you know, had accepted Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, would be taken into the kingdom of heaven. But that you would, if you had died before the rapture happened and you were a faithful Christian, you already would be
you're
in
already
the kingdom
up there.
Of, yeah. You don't need to worry about what's happening
free.
To your earthly remains. This is very confusing. According to the suit, Harold D. Lee of Pauline, South Carolina, wished to be buried next to his parents at a Quitman, Arkansas cemetery after he was found dead on Thanksgiving Day of 2019. It's quite grim.
A very specific plan that he had.
The lawsuit, filed by Brandon Lacey of Lacey Law Firm on March 8th, said Harold
sounds
was...
Sounds kind of erotic.
The sexiest
welcome to
law
the Lacey Law Firm.
Little Rock, Arkansas.
We're all wearing Wicked Weasel bikinis under our pantsuits.
Why do you know about Wicked Weasel bikinis?
Just an old guy who's been horny for a long time, I guess.
Yeah, you have, champ. lawsuit said Harold was transferred to Roller McNutt Funeral Home based on his final wishes.
Wake up, Finn.
It's not even like
what?
It's not even funny, but
Roller McNutt Funeral Home.
It's like it doesn't make any sense, but something about that is very evocative to
Look,
me.
I highlighted like saying, that text and I put it in bold for a reason.
It sounds like you're saying roll a McNutt.
It does. Which again
worst product you can get from your local McDonald's.
Yeah, that is a vial of McDonald's employee gum. But they're only $2. So, you know, it's quite cheap. The six-page suit stated the family, quote, made arrangements with Roller McNutt Funeral Home for the purposes of the transfer, funeral arrangements, casket purchase, and internment. Being extremely religious, the suit stated Harold, quote, stickily desired not to be cremated as he believed his body would be raptured following the second coming.
He stickily desired it because he spilled his McNutt on the way.
I guess that quote needs to be read out by someone with a like Arkansas accent for stickily desired to really hit.
I say, Harold stickily desired not to be cremated.
I'm picturing the space chicken lawyer from Futurama at this point.
He's pretty clearly based on Foghorn Leghorn anyway. You know,
I guess that's true.
He's doing the Foghorn Leghorn voice. What? He believed his body would be raptured following the second coming.
If you're raptured, is that no clip? Or does he have to, like, be pulled through the casket?
I think you clip straight through everything. You clip straight through everything.
I mean, it's...
I'm thinking he fires out of there like a cannonball through the side of a ship.
It's your eternal soul that's going... to your eternal rest.
Oh, okay.
However, you will recall that in many popular depictions of rapturing, people clip straight through their own clothes and leave them behind.
That is true.
Much like in the movie, Left Behind.
Yeah, and I guess some, they have them like floating upwards into heaven and stuff. But I have a different understanding of the rapture to this man, I guess is what I'm saying.
Like, Everybody getting raptured, and there's just wicked weasel bikinis raining down from the sky all around us.
This is not paid placement for Wicked Weasel or for the iPhone SE or for other products.
I don't even know if they still make them. You know, apparently
they do.
Apparently, it's an Australian company.
Oh, that's nice. However, the funeral home notified the family on December 10th, 2019, that they quote accidentally cremated the body.
Whoopsies!
Whoopsie!
Whoopsie!
We did a tiny oopsie. We tripped down some stairs. The carpets got flopped open. The body went flying into an incinerator. The foot sort of hooked the door, closing it shut behind it, and the vibration turned the machine on, and the body was cremated. Shame.
A lot of steps in that accident.
Yeah.
Well, that's why it doesn't happen that often.
It's very rare, but you think
most of the time, yeah, the body lands in the burner there and doesn't close immediately, and they just
they just brush the ashes off.
Yeah, gonna want to pop that boy out of there and back in the coffin.
The suit stated that the plaintiff, Eunice Lee, Harold's wife, was violently shaking in shock when she learned of the mistake. That's obviously, again, as with all of the funeral whoopsies that we have talked about, this is probably very traumatizing.
Yeah, I was gonna say, look. Semantics aside about whether or not you need to be clothed or alive to be raptured.
Wicked weaseled or no. Yeah.
Yep. That's frankly none of our business.
When they say you can't take it with you.
Can't take your wicked weasel with you when you go. That's none
of
our
business.
You get
one at the door.
Yeah. They get you to change out of your black one and put a white one on when you get to heaven. Give you the wings, the halo. A little white wicked weasel bikini. Come on in.
Oh, grandma.
However, it would very much suck, particularly if in this person's case or this person's wife's case, particularly if you very, very strongly believed that this was going to have an impact on the status of his everlasting soul.
Yeah.
Although, look... let's go back to the semantics for a second, because that's what I'm all about.
You did start this exact argument with putting semantics behind.
Yep. Leave the semantics behind, like your wicked weasel when you get raptured. But I am going back to the semantics for a second to say, if you have been like a devout Christian for your whole life and you die, that's your one-way ticket to heaven, right? Why does he need to, where do you, when you get raptured, you're going to heaven. That's
you're going
the deal.
To the same heaven, yes.
So what is he? Does he want a second rapturing? Does he want two of him up there?
I don't think that'd work. I think.
Does he think he's not going to heaven on the first run? He needs.
Already be in heaven at this point.
I think so. I think he should be looking down on this and going, "I messed that one up."
Yeah.
Messed that one up. I was focused on the wrong part. I'm here now. Yeah,
They're making a big kerfuffle down there.
Yeah, the rapturing part, that's really not going to be relevant to me now that I'm residing in my big golden house on the golden streets of heaven.
That's what you picture heaven to be?
I think it's what a lot of people picture heaven to be.
Yeah, that's what I pictured it to be like as a kid. I specifically remember being like under the age of 10 and picturing heaven as a Toys R Us where I could have any of the toys I wanted.
Oh, that does sound good, actually. You're getting the transformer with the chest that pops open. It's got a little tape in it that
Soundwave.
I'm pretty certain I'm getting that in heaven.
And I'm going to like the aisles that are for like the big kids toys, like, you know, the RC cars that take actual petrol and stuff, you know. I'm going crazy.
They got as much gasoline up there as you want.
Roland McNutt waived the cost of the funeral, apologized for the mistake, and returned the $5,000 that was paid in burial insurance after the mistake was made, according to the lawsuit.
We're sorry.
Harold's family is asking for financial restitution and to recover damages. An attorney for the funeral home, Michael Harrison, admitted his clients cremated Harold, but denied all other allegations made by his family.
Feels like the cremation of Harold is sort of the crux of the thing.
Yeah.
But if they swept out the chamber and then they're like, where's your proof? Although it's probably easier to prove that you buried him than it is to prove that you didn't cremate him.
Yeah. Know? Well, we don't want to, you know, dig that up. That'd be rude. I mean, are the rest of the allegations that they... No, because they've admitted it's a mistake.
So what are the rest of... are the other allegations you stopped my husband from being raptured at a future date?
Counterpoint, no, we didn't.
No, I didn't. He's already there. Yeah. Maybe they're just doing semantics in court. That'd be pretty cool.
Yes, it turns out the Bible is the real good news.
It'd be like that... Was it a book first? Was it It was the thing where the little kid there was a little kid in America who had some sort of like near death experience.
Colton Burpo.
Yeah, you're talking about Colton Burpo.
Wait, hang on. Is this one of those things where someone has tricked me into believing that it's his real name?
That's absolutely Colton Burpo.
Colton Burpo, the little kid who had some type of near-death experience, and then when he woke up, his family said, "Remember how you went to heaven and saw God?" And he said,
"Yes, I did."
And they're like, "No, for real, that's what you saw. Let's go talk to Dr. Phil about it." And they did a whole bunch of TV stuff. And then Burpo. I'm pretty sure they made a movie out of the book. The book was called
Heaven is for Real.
A little boy's astounding story of his trip to heaven and back, a New York Times bestseller. The book documents the report of a near-death experience by Todd Burpo's 3-year-old son, Colton.
You know what?
It was in fucking a way- three. You think a 3-year-old knows about anything that they're doing? Jeez.
Todd Burpo is almost funnier than Colton Burpo.
Todd is the juxtaposition.
Yeah, it disarms you somewhat. Todd, okay. Burpo? Yeah. For real?
Come on now. All right, so they adapted this into the 2014 Heaven is for Real starring Connor Corum as Colton Burpo.
Sorry, what?
Well, who else are you going to get to play it?
Starring the child Connor Corum as Colton Burpo.
I love America
featuring
so much.
Greg Kinnear as Todd Burpo and Kelly
Greg
Riley.
Greg Kinnear's in all of those.
As Sonia Burpo.
Ben, you look surprised.
No, I was trying to figure out whether Greg Kinnear was also in that horrible The Secret movie that I watched, but I don't think I was.
No,
I think just
he does a lot of the spiritual movies.
Hmm.
So in my recollection of this story, because I haven't seen the movie or read the book, as surprising as that might be, I'm pretty sure that there are courtroom scenes of this little boy testifying that heaven is real.
Hey, now, Colton Burpo, that's a great American name. Yo! It's time, of course, for the Great American Hall of Name.
It's the Great American Hall of Name.
This is a list taken from the Texas Rodeo Cowboy Hall of Fame. Now, Theo, you're laughing already, and for good reason. Prepare yourselves for this. I'm going to start off slowly. This is nice and gentle, nothing too crazy.
Got to ease me into it like a bath.
Yeah, it's sort of like a American Hall of Name training kit. Start with a really small one and then get bigger and bigger until, you know.
Like stretching out your...
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yes. Weldon Burgoon.
So, are you starting me with a normal one, you say?
Yeah.
That's right.
Is this supposed to feel like this?
Mertus Deitman.
Mertus?
M-Y-R-T-I-S. Mertus.
Mertus.
Deitman, of course, D-I-G-H-T... M-A-N.
That's just about as silly as one of my favorite movies, Dead Heat, which stars a cop who becomes a detective named Roger Mortis, but his name was like a joke on purpose.
This is this man's real name.
Huh.
Quail Dobbs. Royd Doyle. Tut Garnett. Spicer Grip.
Slow down.
Delbert Hadaway.
Delbert, come on now.
Denny McClanahan. Punch Oglesby. Tough Overturf.
Oh, yes.
Joe Beaver. Glenn Bird. Todd Fox.
I love when they start getting thematic.
William Hogg. Bob Krill. Skipper Driver. Brady Crumpler. Feral Butler.
Oh, that one's evocative.
Foam Ike all around Tucker. His mouth.
Warren Gunn. Buster Ivory. Ray Mayo. John Gass. Johnny Mellon. Hob Shed. Monty Penny.
This is the stupidest segment they do.
Rusty Riddle. Chick Elms. Delbert Wise.
The second Delbert.
That's Delbert, two Delberts. Junior Meek. Gary Gregg. Wacy Cathy.
Wacy?
Wacy. This man's first name is W-A-C-E-Y. Wacy.
Wacy
Cathy. Sandy Kirby.
Goddamn.
Toots Mansfield. Tudor Waits. And I got two last ones here for you. Dickie Richard. And Dickie Cox.
Oh, that's what's going on.
I didn't include it, but there was like 7 people in the Hall of Fame who had the last name Gay, and I was like, no, that's low-hanging fruit. Sure made me laugh, though.
Yeah, you're just getting the highbrow ones in this segment.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's beautiful. You know, with names like that, I don't think these people are living in the real world. But when you want to check in on reality, the one and only place to go is the world of the British tabloid. It's time for Tabloid Phenomenon.
Fist-headed man destroys church.
I love the real world of Britain.
Yep.
Whole bunch of people keeping it real. Like this person from Yorkshire Live. Screaming woman kicked off Jet 2 flight was on way to Turkey for 3,000 pound teeth.
How's she going to carry them?
They're going to charge so much for that on the flight back.
Can't get that on your
on
check-in.
The scale.
Yeah. Trying to fit him into that little frame they give you for the bag. The aggressive Yorkshire woman who has been banned from flying on Jet 2 after screaming in cabin crew's faces was on her way to get 3,000-pound veneers. Shocking footage shows Catherine Bush pacing up and down the flight from Manchester to Antalya in Turkey on Monday. The mother of one from Cleckheaton... get the fuck out of here... had been saving to get 20 zirconium veneers, a friend told Mail Online, and added she was, quote, excited, end quote, about the trip.
Yeah, I've highlighted a friend there. I feel like grassing on your mate. It's not a great friend.
Yeah, but how much do they pay him?
Yeah, that's true.
How many times a day you reckon that Manchester to Antalya flight is running?
I think that's a thrice daily service, that one, yeah.
Truly, truly one of my favorite things about Brexit was all of the people who were like, wait a minute, what do you mean I cannot constantly travel back and forth from like Spain all the time where I live because I hate Britain?
Yeah.
That was good stuff. However, she didn't make it to Turkey after she turned violent on a flight over crying babies, and she also tried to open a door mid-flight. Have you seen any movies, lady?
Yeah.
I love when... This is not the only story I saw from the last week or so of someone trying to open a door mid-flight either. Like, I think people go... It's kind of like space madness, but it's on a plane. Plane madness, I guess.
I think that they're just in the pursuit of truth.
Well, like...
You don't have to trust, like, everything that the government tells you.
That's true.
You know, you go around your life just going, like... Oh, that door leads to the outside of the plane? Have we checked?
Yeah.
Have you checked personally, Ben?
I never have. You know what? You know, I think sometimes that of that saying, you know, when you ban someone from opening the door on a plane, you're not only you're telling them that they're afraid of what would happen if you... But there's a reason they don't want you to go out there, and it's probably really cool.
If you make it a crime to open the door to the outside of a plane, then only criminals will open the door to the outside of the plane.
Yeah, I think that's what I was trying to think of, yeah.
Yeah.
Do
you want to put all that power in the hands of criminals? Or do you want everyday, just normal people like...
You.
What's her name? Madison?
So coming back to space
Catherine
madness
Bush.
For a second.
Catherine Bush, sorry.
Yeah.
Old Kathy Bush.
Coming back to space madness for just a moment. So Ben, what in your estimation, as a person who has read many hard science fiction books and watched numerous films about space travel, what do you think it is about space travel that prompts space madness to show itself?
Isolation.
Mm-hmm.
Fear of the outside, an innate sense of the awareness of how far away you are from home and how inaccessible it is. And also, it's probably demons or something as well sometimes.
Maybe a bit of like cosmic radiation.
Yeah, like the sun. for some reason, for unclear reasons.
So, and space travel can take a very long time, correct?
Yes, that is true.
So you may well be trapped in your capsule for months, perhaps even years, depending on where you're going. The flight from Manchester to Antalya takes 4.5 hours.
Oh, yes, my man's got receipts.
That, like, I'm just saying...
People are going to get so mad about us not saying the word Anatolia right once.
Wait, how's that pronounced?
Anatolia?
Is it?
I don't know. I'm just looking at how it's spelt in this story, and I have no idea.
I assume they're talking about the little bit of Asia Minor there.
Okay. The Wikipedia pronunciation is telling me that it's pronounced Antalya.
Oh, so closer to what I was saying than what
Yeah, it
saying.
Seems like for the I first time up. In the history of the podcast, Andrew was correct. Andrew, play the Andrew was correct theme.
So, all I'm saying is that I don't think 4.5 hours is kind of the span of time at which one would normally lose their grip on their sanity.
Yeah.
You know, lose a few rolls and take on damage from space madness. Or plane madness, as it were.
Yeah.
I think to acquire plane madness, you're looking at least sort of... at least 24 hours on the plane. And even then, I think you're only taking pretty minor damage, you know? Yeah. Either that or a situation where you have boarded the plane to a destination and the plane just kind of keeps going. And after a while, you forget when you got on the plane and you start to lose focus on where the plane was meant to be going.
Who are you?
Who are you? A lot of the other passengers seem to be people from your past. Maybe some sort of ghostly remnant of someone from your future. You start to forget where you are and what's happening, you know. But that hasn't happened to me too many times. So,
yeah.
I'm just saying I don't think plane madness is... it's not covered by Medicare.
Well, usually the sort of these sort of incidents are kicked off by someone getting on a plane from let's say Rockhampton to Melbourne, and then they have seven Bundy rum and cokes.
Yeah, and they're kicking in at like T plus 30 by which time you're already in the air.
Yeah, Aerowid trip report. Ingested 7 Bundy and cokes. T plus 30.
Holy fuck.
I am the pilot now. Let's get this son of a bitch to do a flip.
Yep.
I wish I could find this quote. I saw a tweet the other day. They asked, I'm going to go with, just for example's sake, an astronaut from like Apollo 8. You know, what was it like up there, etc.? And he's like, you know, it's beyond our ken to describe this stuff. You know, we're here to do the mission, etc., you know. Unable to find the words, right? Should have sent a poet.
Mm-hmm.
And then they asked this guy from like Apollo 13, what was it like up there? And he's like, yeah, it was really neat.
Just very like, cool.
Just immune to space madness. Like, oh,
they
this
do
is
tops. Yeah, people do seem to talk about like people who've gone up on the space station and stuff like that. All seem to talk about how, like, being able to see most of the Earth at one time really fucks with your head a bit, really gives you the whole kind of, oh, pretty small out here, aren't we, kind of vibe.
Yeah, except like for the one guy that's like, this is cool.
I've got the quote here, Theo.
Oh, thank you.
As the Gemini and Apollo astronaut Michael Collins once put it, so Michael Collins, of course, is the...
the guy
who stayed in the lander.
Who did not go to the moon.
Yeah, stayed in orbit around the moon. It was not within our...
getting up there and saying, I'm good.
I'm fine. You guys go on ahead.
I'm fine here. I want to finish this chapter of my book. Then I got to do some laundry. Why don't you guys just...
20 pages left.
Plus, I really got a shit.
It was not within our ken to share emotions or to utter extraneous information. Asked what it was like to go to the moon, Apollo 12's Pete Conrad replied, super, really enjoyed it.
That to me is extremely boss. That's great
the moon,
stuff.
Pretty neat.
Oh, you gotta go.
Top 10 places I've been, honestly.
Oh man, asking Michael Collins, oh, you haven't been to the moon? Oh, you simply must. You'd love it there.
Oh, you got to get up there.
Did Michael Collins end up going on the moon eventually? Or did he just... Was he mooncucked for the rest of his life?
Yeah, it feels like you got to send Michael Collins to the moon, right?
Like you got to throw him a Let's freebie.
Went around.
You get absolutely wild frequent flyer points from going to the moon once, you know.
Yeah, no, I don't think he went on the moon.
Oh.
Yeah, there's just like him. There's Buzz Aldrin. Neil Armstrong, I'm going to go with. Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah.
At a party. Oh, so what, you know, what was it like, you know, in jumping about on the moon surface, et cetera, and the other two guys just, you know, wheeling off cool little details, things that they remember, et cetera, and Michael's just like staring off into space over his beer.
Yeah, I might just go
and grab another one from the fridge, guys.
He's like, you can tell he's got a full beer as well already. He's like, oh, I need to get another drink. No, you don't, Michael.
He's just turning to the person next to him and asking, have you read The Firm by John Grisham?
That shit's crazy, man. Really interesting.
Really
man.
Cool.
These guys are always talking about themselves. Always talking about how they walked on the moon. I'm so sick of it.
Yeah. No one asked me, like, hey, what was it like being on the other side of the moon over there? Like, I mean, pretty much the same as being on this side of the moon.
Yeah, it's very similar.
It's but very darker. Similar, but...
No one ever walks up to me and says, hey, Michael Collins, what was it like being the second person to orbit the moon alone?
Was he not the first?
He was not
Apollo
the first.
Apollo 9 went around the moon. Is that right?
I don't know. I've already closed the Wikipedia.
Okay, fair enough.
Damn, that's crazy.
What are we doing? What's the...
I think we got up to opening a door mid-flight.
Tried to open the door mid-flight. Witnesses also claim she reportedly slapped other passengers on board the flight during her aggressive outbursts.
Plane madness.
Due to Catherine's foul mouth rants, the flight diverted to Vienna so she could be kicked off the flight.
That's got to be just... It's such a pointed thing to be like, we are landing the plane in Austria.
In Austria. You're Austria's problem now.
Hang on, where's
Austria in relation to?
Yeah,
it's most of the way there. They kind of touched down like an hour early.
Yeah, God, just everyone. Imagine the looks you'd be getting, withering stares from everyone else.
It would be one of those situations like I don't know if either of you guys have ever been in one of these sorts of situations where somebody is absolutely making a scene and winds up getting themselves forcibly removed from a place, and as they are being removed everybody gives a weary round of applause.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like that's I think that applause has got to cut deep, even if you think you're right, which this lady probably did. I think to be walking around and slapping everyone, you've got to feel pretty confident that, you know, in your position.
In the righteousness of your cause, opening the door.
Yeah, and then copping the weary round of applause from
you
a bunch of strangers.
You failed to convince anybody on the plane.
Not a single person was like, hey,
let's hear her out.
Yeah. You're right, that baby did deserve to be tipped on the floor.
Let her open the door. I want to see what's out there too. She's a scientist, you know?
That sort of like rejection from an entire plane full of people probably hits hard on like one of the like monkey parts of your brain as well. Like imagine if your entire troop of monkeys that you lived in just suddenly was like, hey, we all want you to fuck off.
Yeah, they all started keeping the bananas to themselves.
Yeah.
Nobody offered you a single cigarette.
They've formed a grooming circle and left no space for you in there whatsoever.
Everybody's sort of ignoring you as you say, guys, nobody told me there was a grooming circle. Hey, Jerry, you want to scooch just a little? Jerry's not even looking up. He's not looking up.
Yeah, pretending like he's really busy trying to find one particular. Yeah. Like,
he's acting hyper-focused, but you know he has good hearing.
He can hear you.
You know,
Jerry's ignoring you.
Yep.
Monkey Bridget? Version of Catherine.
Bridget, you want me to get those bugs? Bridget's saying nothing.
Clive?
It's got to hurt.
No one?
No, I guess I can get the ones that are on my stomach, but I'm going to have trouble reaching the ones on my back if anyone's maybe free later. Crickets.
Be awful.
The friend, friend told Mail Online, I was with Catherine in the pub at the weekend. She told me she was excited about going to Turkey. She said she had scraped together £3,000 from her savings for cosmetic surgery on her teeth. She was going to have them whitened. £3,000 to have your fucking teeth whitened?
I don't think that adequately. Yeah, she's getting gems on the front.
20 zirconium veneers.
Yeah, no, she's... Yeah, this friend didn't get the full story, I don't think.
She didn't get the skinny. Clearly, like, as we said, not a real friend.
No. Yeah. Not fake listening. Friend. Already, like... Catherine's talking. She's already, like, got her phone out, starting the email to the Daily Mail. Like,
doesn't even know she's about to commit a crime.
Oh, I'm just looking at some photos of clearly British people who've got zirconium veneers. Oh, and they're people getting dental implants in Turkey. There you go.
Yeah.
So is Greece like the... is Greece what sort of... like Thailand is to Australians for surgery, you know, for cosmetic stuff.
All right. So I'm just...
Is that a yes?
Trying to capture the angle we're going here.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Turkey is to England as Thailand is to Australia.
When it comes to traveling overseas to get some cosmetic surgery.
Yeah, to get a massive heaving pair of bazooms. Why not visit beautiful Turkey?
Yeah. I was doing some reading recently about like people doing the surgical tourism kind of stuff. And how, you know, obviously there's plenty of people who go and get cosmetic surgery done and it's fine, or like dental surgery done and it's fine, and it's very significantly cheaper than it is to do it in Australia. But apparently the issue comes if you are one of the rare people who has it go very wrong, or you wind up going to a place where the quality of care or whatever is not good. Because there have been the horror stories of Australians who go over and get I was reading about this guy who went over and got, you know, half a dozen procedures done in a very small space of time, or a single sitting, you know, like just got 20 hours of surgery.
It's like you get all the trades in at the same time.
Yep. Just let's do it all at once and they'll do it. And not healing up properly and essentially like rotting to death in a hotel room over there, that kind of thing. So that was what this story was about. And they were saying the reason that it's not super advisable to go and do is because their insurance stuff for doctors is set up completely differently to ours here. And you need to prove their malpractice to some degree, and you need to prove it to like a council of like surgical advocates and stuff, where they're just like, no.
That doesn't sound right.
Yeah, they're just like, our doctors, the ones we represent, I don't think they'd do that.
No, it's meant to be like that. It's meant to look like that.
Yeah, it's supposed to be extremely difficult to get a hearing with these people to try and accuse somebody of like malpractice and get them to take responsibility and fix your shit. And if they say no to you, there is like no form of appeal and you are told to fuck off forever. So, you know, think about it before you get your huge chompers put in overseas to go with your massive cans. Strap those bad boys into a wicked weasel and you are ready to rock.
The teeth?
Both. One passenger on board the flight, who did not wish to be named, claimed a woman became disruptive around an hour and 20 minutes into the journey. A customer said something and she slapped him in the face. The holiday maker told the MEN. That's this publication, I believe. What is the MEN?
No, that's the Manchester Evening News. It's a sister publication to this one.
Then a man got up... Oh, sorry, I'm back to quoting it. Then a man got up to try to calm the situation before taking her to the back of the plane. Catherine's, quote, extremely disruptive behavior has led to her being banned from Jet2 flights for life, as well as being slapped with a huge £5,000 fine. I don't think they literally slapped her.
She spent £2,000 more than she intended to, and she doesn't even have her 20 zirconium veneers.
Oh, great. I got to dip into my chomper fund to pay for this.
My advice, when you, like, so this is just, like, one of my handy travel tips I'm always getting because I'm a bit of a, like, a, I love travel, you know. Just get on the plane and then just sit down and shut the fuck up until the flight is over and then get off. And it's, like, so easy.
You get to, it's, like, one of the few times in your life that you get to just sit there.
Yeah.
And you can't do anything. You got to just, like, watch some TV.
Yeah. That's when you watch the new Transformers movie.
Uh-huh.
Maybe you watch, there might be a new Marvel movie where you wouldn't take time out of your week if you were on ground. In your terrestrial time, you'd be like, I'm not fucking watching Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
And then you go,
because that's the one with a woman. Okay.
I think it's the last one I watched on a plane.
Which was the one with Florence Pugh in it?
That would be Black Widow.
Black Widow, okay.
Haven't seen it.
It's a pretty cruel irony that the ones that have been headed by a female lead actress have absolutely been the worst ones.
Oh, they're all bad. But that's when you watch them. You go, oh, fuck. I may as well try and keep up with pop culture these days, and I may as well watch a shit move on the plane. Because, I mean, like, what else are you going to do? You read? Read or one of those have, like, airport books?
6 Feet Under, Series 3, Episode 7. On there for some reason.
They have two episodes of the McAuliffe program. That's awesome. Gotta watch those.
I have another piece of advice for flying. If you see me on the plane, leave me alone. I just want to sit quietly. Don't slap me.
Okay. Yeah. I don't think I'm not going to try and calm someone down on the plane either. Like, you know, if they're going to hurt someone, sure, maybe I'd intervene. But if they're just on a tirade, I'm not going to be like, ma'am, I need you to breathe.
Your
chakras are so out of alignment.
I was talking to my wife the other day about just like sometimes there are situations where a thing happens in front of you and you have to get involved and, you know, help somebody or render first aid to them or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I was remembering a time that I was, when I lived in Melbourne, I think I was going to get lunch with my brother or something, and we were walking down the street, and a gentleman who had all these stereotypical appearances of someone who did a lot of drugs sort of came running past us and ran out across the street, but without looking at all as to whether there was any traffic coming, you know? Just ran out between two parked cars on the side of the road directly into the street in the CBD and was immediately clocked by a car going at a decent clip in front of us. And immediately, like, three or four people who were the closest went over to him and got him onto the footpath. Like, he wasn't, like, fatally injured or anything like that. He was having a bad time. But, so these people grabbed him and they immediately started, you know, first aiding him and calling an ambulance and stuff like that. And I went, well, that's it for me. I'm off, because while it's very good to help and render assistance to somebody when you can, I think that there is a critical mass of helpful people,
yeah,
at which point introducing more people is not actually helping.
Yeah.
I think if you have a situation like that where there is, like, a passenger getting nutty, and if 15 people all stand up and go, oi,
start screaming, calm down.
Oi, calm, hey!
Hey, love, calm down, all right?
Hey.
It's not that bad. Love, it's just a plane, isn't it?
It's just a plane. You know what's outside the door. It's the sky.
It's nothing out there. It's boring. Don't worry about it.
It's no gremlins, you know? Yeah, there are some situations where it's just like, if I were to try and render help at this point, I think I would actually be only making it worse.
And that's our advice for the week, is judiciously choose when your help would be life-saving and when it would be annoying.
Yeah. Because you don't want to annoy anybody during
it's
what's already...
It's fine to ignore people in distress.
Yeah.
Yep. Wait.
That's right.
Huh? Well, that's it, folks. Be cool, otherwise you're going to lose all your teeth money.
That's right.
Do you reckon? Do you reckon if you got $3,000 zirconium veneers put in, and then you got raptured, do you think the teeth are going with you?
I mean, yeah. If it's a body rapture, yeah, they're coming with you.
What about like a
soul rapture?
Okay. How about this?
Although,
let's say you lost a leg below the knee at some point, and you had a prosthetic leg. Do you think you get raptured with the prosthetic leg, or do you think you go to heaven and are rendered whole once again?
So that leg's just going to like schlorp out like it's a bloop. Like you're a frog.
Is it a leg you lost in an accident, or is it like a congenital, like a birth defect?
One you lost in an accident.
Okay.
Because I think your answer to this is also going to determine what happens to the veneers.
I think that it follows Matrix rules, where your appearance in the afterlife...
That's how you see yourself.
Yeah, your residual self-image. That's right, yes.
See, that would say to me that you don't bring the veneers with you, but your teeth just take on the appearance of the veneers that you wanted them to have.
Yeah, I think that that'd probably be how it works. Okay. Have we ever spoken about how, like, one of the characters in... the character Switch in the first Matrix movie was meant to essentially be a trans character.
Well, they were going to have different genders in and out of the Matrix.
Yes, which is where the name Switch came from. They sort of realized that. Yeah, but then they didn't end up putting that in. It's just a little interesting concept there.
I watched a new Disney movie with the kids yesterday because my daughter. My daughter has the novel coronavirus. My other daughter.
Not so novel anymore, if you ask me.
No, it's getting fucking old. The other one had it a couple of weeks ago, and now the younger one has it. It's just every day we get messages from the school saying, the following classes have had multiple children test positive for coronavirus, which is fucking cool. So anyway, we watched Jungle Cruise.
Gonna need you to hit that timer there, Andrew.
Andrew loves to watch a million movies, but nobody else really gives a fuck. He's got 15 seconds to describe the movie, otherwise he's just shit out of luck.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1,
let's go.
Jungle Cruise is another Disney movie that's an adaptation of a ride, just like Pirates of the Caribbean. It stars the world's most asexual beefcake movie star, The Rock, and Emily Blunt in the Amazon.
Really good theme.
I don't know, I don't really feel like I've got a handle on the plot from... Maybe that's it, I
think you have to go on the ride at Disneyland.
Oh, I have to go on the ride.
Well,
you won't get this if you haven't been on the ride yet.
The plot is actually very similar to Pirates of the Caribbean, in that there's like the ghost pirates who've been cursed and everything. This has like conquistadors who've been cursed. Very, very similar stuff. Anyway, there is a point in the movie. This is what you were saying about The Matrix made me think of this, Ben. You know how there has been the recent controversy around Disney movies and how Disney, as a company, has been paying donations to all of the right-wing politicians who are backing Florida's Don't Say Gay bill? Either of you aware of this?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen this about 400,000 times and I've not let any of the details sort of filter down into the kind of... The more core parts of my consciousness, because it's just going to depress me, I think, if I...
Yeah. Oh, very much. So Florida's basically trying to introduce a bill that's the equivalent of, like, the Russian stuff, where they're like, you're not allowed to acknowledge to young people that gays exist, because that might make them want to be gay. And Disney donates a bunch of money to all of the lawmakers who are supporting this and trying to put it through. A bunch of their fans and employees have been like, hey... cut that out. Disney's response was to say, we love the gay community. Yeah. You
all
can tell.
All ticket holding gays,
we love you. You can tell by the empowering tales of the LGBTQ community that we tell. That's our support for the gay communities, the stories that we tell. And at that point, people from Pixar came out and said, Disney has very forcefully made us scrub everything remotely queer from our movies that we have put in over the years. And one of the examples that gets cited, much like I guess, there's a bunch of examples that get cited of queer content in Disney things, and one of them was from this fucking movie, Jungle Cruise, that I was watching with my kids yesterday. A British stand-up comedian, Jack Whitehall, plays Emily Blunt? Is that her? Emily Blunt's brother. And he's like an effeminate, fancy city boy. And there's a point where he is talking to Dwayne Johnson's riverboat captain character, and they're talking about how how back in London he was ostracized by his friends and family and stuff because of who he loves. And he said, you know, I would get ostracized because he sort of gets asked, do you have a girlfriend back home? And he says, oh well, I got ostracized by my family because my affections lie elsewhere. And The Rock goes, oh well, to elsewhere, and they toast to that. That's the gay representation in the movie.
Yeah. I think, for me, that line should have been, to sucking cocks. And a little little clink of the glasses.
The thing that I was struck by, right, is that, like, even in that situation where they never explicitly say, oh, well, the thing is that I like guys.
Yeah. Oh, I'm actually, I am homosexual.
I am a homosexual, and it is World War One era England, and people don't like that.
Yeah.
They don't say that. They refer to it very obliquely. They don't actually acknowledge anyone as being gay. And the language that they do use is the extremely, like, lib. It's about who you love because of who I love.
Yeah.
And that it just kind of strikes
getting
me
rimmed or whatever.
Yeah. That really, like, neoliberal support for same-sex marriage that is always framed as, like, love is love. It's about who, you know, you don't control who you love. Hey, all these people, they just want to get married like you and have a husband and have some kids and pay their taxes and be normal like you, you know? Like, that's the real overwhelming tone of it.
And then immediately afterwards being like, I just think the Mardi Gras parade's a little much.
It's
you know,
little...
you're thinking maybe, like, tone it down. Doesn't have to be so rude.
Yeah, you call them inclusive, but you're not allowed cops there.
Yeah.
Did you see that Mardi Gras this year had, like, corporate boxes?
Of course it fucking does.
I'm sure it has before now, but geez, although. And I read this list recently that was going through, like, all of the instances of what has been described as queer representation in Disney movies. And it's about a dozen things. And I would say a third of the list were characters that an actor or director on, like, promotional tour for the movie says, oh, yeah, that character's queer.
Yeah, he's gay, man.
J.K. Rowling inclusivity.
Yeah, it's the thing where, like, after the fact, they sort of say, oh, this person says, I have to go home and see my partner. And then during the press tour, someone says, yes, that character is gay. It's like, cool. Not that you would possibly be able to tell from watching the movie or anything, but...
I don't reckon that we should have left corporations in charge of our livelihoods.
All culture?
Art, culture.
Yeah.
The, you know, our ability to kind of survive, like, medicine, food... I just personally, I think we fucked up on that one.
Oh, and you got a better idea?
Yeah. Yeah, pull out a 357 Magnum.
Oh, my idea is to... Smart.
My idea is to immediately try to open the door on the plane. You know?
That's right. That's the solution. Open the door on the plane.
Ideally.
All your problems will seem insignificant if you open the door... Step outside.
We need to open the door on the plane that is the world.
Yeah.
That is so true.
That's so true.
That's the Bermuda Triangle. Is the plane door of the world. Open that bad boy up.
Crack it open. Let it breathe, you know?
Letting it breathe. So important.
Let it breathe. Imagine, though, if, like, opening the door of the plane that is the world was actually opening, like, a big door on the crust of the earth, exposing the hollow earth inside.
Yeah.
You know,
that'd be cool.
It would be cool. A little scary, but pretty cool.
Only one way to find out.
Let's send that guy down who didn't get to go to the moon.
Michael Collins.
Let's let him have first crack at the Hollow Earth. That's
sending Michael Collins into the Hollow Earth. Hey, buddy, You earned this one.
You're up. You have something to talk about at parties.
Yeah, he's dead.
He died. Just imagine him.
Died last year.
Oh. All right, Peter Michael Collins.
Kind of a bummer.
Plus, this is what he looks like.
This is, of course, an audio medium.
Yeah, I'm just posting it.
Oh, okay.
Close your eyes and...
That's an old man.
Picture it if you can.
It's a dour old man.
Really,
picture an old guy.
Really Clint Eastwood grade oldness there.
Yeah.
All right, so I guess we're not sending him. We'll find someone.
I mean, we Collins are. We kind of sent him. We kind of sent him a little way towards
6 foot of the way there.
Jeez.
put Michael Collins down that hole that the Soviets drilled in Siberia.
The Siberian hell sounds hole. Off you go, buddy.
Let him go down there.
All right, he was the second astronaut to orbit the moon alone, and he was the first astronaut to have his corpse drop down the giant borehole that went to hell. Neil who?
Well, that's it for us, folks. Thank you very much for joining us. Do not forget to go to shop.buntavista.com and see if you would like to buy a t-shirt. You know?
Yeah, and if you don't want to, close that tab, type in Wicked Weasel.
Yeah.
Just have a browse.
Type in Cola Super Deep Borehole.
Yeah. Super and don't look at the, like, but look for, like, a URL that looks like they've not done a lot of fact checking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ideal.
Because then you get the cool version of the story.
See you next time, everybody.
Bye.